You are now listening to the Scrolls Podcast.
You know, I felt like I needed to do an episode for Black History Month. One of the reasons is because I don't feel like it gets highlighted enough, because the magnitude of who we are can't be fit into one month. But whatever. The other reason is because I feel like, especially as Black men, enough of us don't fully understand on more of a basic practical scale who we are as Black men and what it means to be a Black man. A lot of us, you know, we grow up and we go through school and we get indoctrinated in whatever they tell us, and after that it's just like autopilot. And enough is not enough of us that backtrack and go back to the programming and deprogram and get to the root of how people look at us, how we look at ourselves. And to be straight up about it, a lot of us, it's sad because Black men don't know, for the most part, that other races, all the other genders, there's a million genders out there now. There's one thing that we have in common with all of them. When they see a Black man, they see power, period. They see power, they see God, they see everything that they wish they had. It's priceless. They see a value in us that's priceless. Now, the problem comes in with that, where we don't see that when we look at each other. Most of us don't. Can't say all, we're not gonna speak in absolutes, but most of us don't see that when we look at ourselves and when we look at each other. You know, it's been, there's this automatic tension, and I hate it. I hate it. And if you a Black man, you listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's this automatic tension that Black men have between each other when we see each other. And it doesn't matter where we are. We can be in the grocery store, we can be at a car dealership, we can be wherever, man. Two Black dudes make eye contact and it all automatically jumps into a what the fuck you looking at kind of vibe. And it's fucked up because that is by design. Like, we were programmed to be that way, and all we gotta do is deprogram it. Like, for instance, like when I'm out and I'm passing a Black man, I speak to him, whether it be verbally or a head nod. It's like we always have to break that ice between each other. And that's bullshit, because if it was the opposite of that, we would have a totally different position in this world, because these people they're already scared of us, and they already think we're just some big Black monsters out here. So it's like, imagine if we took advantage of that. We took advantage of that imagery. We flipped that propaganda. Imagine what would have happened if we all got on the same page when it comes to shit like that. Because truth of the matter is, a lot of beefs that happen, a lot of misunderstandings that happen, is just from lack of communication. You know, it's like, we're better at everything we do. We are the sauce when it comes to everything. We make shit hot. We make shit whack. We decide what's on and what's off. When it comes to music, when it comes to fashion, when it comes to sports, there is nothing on this planet that we can jump in and not figure out. And, you know, when you hear the whole kings and queens thing, a lot of us wear more than one hat. We're multi-layered people. So a lot of us were scientists. A lot of us were innate geniuses. A lot of us were things other than kings and queens. And you see that nowadays. It's like, you speed up to right now. Like, I'm one of those people that I can start from nothing and figure out how shit works. Like I can jump on a concept or an idea of something I've never seen in my life and figure it out. You let me sit with it long enough, I'll figure it out. Like, that's an engineer's brain. That has nothing to do with King and all of this other stuff. I have an engineer's brain. You know, and a lot of us think like that. I think a lot of us think like that naturally. That's not something that I wasn't taught that. I've always been like that since a kid. I take my game systems apart. I do all this shit just to see how stuff works. It's like we're really inquisitive. And that is one thing that a lot of people don't have. You know, we move different. We move way different. We talk way different. And it's all by nature. We're different by nature. Like, we're organically different. And a lot of other races, they understand that about us. And that's one of the main things they hate about us, is that we have the power to move shit. When a black man walks in a room, people know. You know, we don't have to say a word. When we walk in a room, our presence is felt. When we leave a room, our presence is felt. And for being, you know, even you take relationships, you know, they have these sayings, once you go black, you don't go back. And I think that is because people know we as black men, even at the lowest level, even the lowest level black man can be in a relationship. I'm talking about flat broke, ain't really got shit going on but sex. Even them type of black men, the lowest level black men, they catch the envy too. They catch the jealousy too. And that's because everybody looks at us, everybody puts us under this scope that we don't put ourselves under. And I think that's a bad thing. I think we need to put ourselves under that scope, because when we do, we'll get our shit all the way together, because it's like it's split into thirds now. You have black men that get it, and you know our minds are there. Everything is there. And then you have another part of that third, two-thirds of them, it's like they kind of get it. They're working on it. Or, you know, they're just getting keen to, you know, who we really are. And then you have the other third that just doesn't know and doesn't give a fuck. One of my favorite times, just as black people, I'd say, was the old school. You know, I obviously didn't live through it. I'm from 87. But when I listen to music from the 70s and 80s, when I watch movies from the 70s and 80s, like that, me and my wife watched that Judas and the Black Messiah last night, and I'm sitting there looking at it like, man, what happened? Like, what happened to when we were like that? The system is what happened. But you know what? I'm not really one of those guys that blames everything on the system and acts like there's nothing we can do about it. Yeah, we can identify where the problem came in and who jumped the issue off. But just as easy as we can do that, we can also put our finger on our own solution. And that is just coming together like-minded, not everybody, because everybody's obviously not going to be on the same page. The people that aren't, they can move their own way. But as far as us who are capable of doing it, that's all it takes. And it's so simple. It sounds way more simple when you put it in those terms, like watch how we treat each other, watch how we talk to each other. Just like being like paying more attention to humanity. And it doesn't have to be over the top. It doesn't have to be extra. It's very simple what it takes for us to get on the same page. Every year comes around and we see all the posts about Black History Month and what this person did and what that person did, not really paying attention to the fact that we're in a position now to where we're supposed to be those people that 30, 40, 50 years from now, our grandkids and our kids and great grandkids are looking back at us saying, well, this guy he treated his people like this. This black man was good for that. Like, how come we're not setting those milestones ourselves? Like, we're looking at it in past tense. You know, we're looking at it, everyone before us, and we're not doing it. For the most part, again, some of us are, but for the most part, we're not. And we really shouldn't have as much of an issue as we do with just getting along. Common courtesy type shit. Like, I'm always surprised when I'm, and it's sad, I'm always surprised when I'm out and I see another black man and they speak first. And it's like, it's hard to explain that feeling, but it's like, damn, it's so much that is said within us being generous and just kind to each other. You know, that tells me a lot, because I know how I was raised. Obviously, we ain't all raised the same, but just to be kind, and that's, you know, it might just be living in the Midwest thing, because when you go down south, it's not necessarily like that. It's actually the opposite. Like, people have a whole conversation with you in the checkout line at the grocery store. Up here, it's not like that. For the most part, the only black men that speak to each other is, if I didn't see you in this grocery store 4 or 5 times, all right, cool. If I know you from before, years ago, we went to school together, or I know your people, like, we speak to each other on that level. But it's rarely when I've never seen this person before, I don't know this person from a can of paint, and I still speak to them. And that's a problem, because that's how doors get opened by, you never know what can spark from you having a random conversation with somebody. You never know whose day you might brighten up just by speaking to them. And as black men, we walk around with this built up tension all the time, because on one hand, every time we step out the door, people side eye us and they look at us like, They look, and no matter how righteous you are, no matter how straight, narrow you fly, we all get the same look from other people, other groups of people. And that is one thing that I learned, you know, around 17, 18, was that they don't look at us and say, well, he looks like he gets up and goes to work, or he looks like he sells drugs. They look at all of us like some kind of threat to their genetic pool, which, you know, interracial relationships comes into that. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Everybody, whether they admit it or not, everybody wants a black man. They at least want to see what it's like. So, look, I mean, let alone getting a serious relationship and serious situation with one of us, they at least want to see what it's like. They want to see what the hype is all about. They're curious, because they, once again, we got that sauce nobody else has. And it's natural. It's not something we buy. It's not our clothes. It's in our skin. It's embedded in our skin. It's embedded in our souls. And that is one thing that I think needs to be talked about way more when you talk about Black History Month and just black people in general, because not only do we have something that's priceless, like, everything within us is just worth more. Like, you talk about the black market and where they sell organs and stuff, like, black people, everything we got on us is just worth more on a priceless tip and on an actual dollar amount. Everything about us is just worth more. We got more going on. You know, there's no such thing as being too black. And I hate when I do not like black men who try to water themselves down to fit in around other people. Like, you walk around with your head down, you walk around with your chest caved in. We were built to do the exact opposite of that, man. Chest out, chin up. Like, that's that, we created that. That's who we are. Other groups don't do that because they can't. They look at us, and to make ourselves, it's, you know, the crazy part is, black man, we have to make ourselves seem non-threatening when we're out. Like, and that's bullshit. I don't do it. I don't make myself seem non-threatening. If it's an old white lady, if it's an old white man, if it's an old anybody that is uncomfortable around me, no matter where we are, if we're at a restaurant, I do not give a fuck. I don't care. You get up and leave. Because that is what has weakened us as a group, as a whole, for so long now, is making ourselves seem non-threatening. Just because other people are intimidated by us, we have to turn our shit down. And that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how I rock. It'll never be like that. If I have a son, he's gonna learn that from his first stages of comprehension. You don't turn your blackness down. You don't turn your power down for nothing, for nobody. That doesn't mean go out here and take advantage of people and be an asshole either. But you don't turn down who you are to make others feel comfortable. That's the number one thing I'll teach them. Because luckily, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a father that didn't necessarily have the black man, the black boy growing up conversation. I didn't really have that, but I had the example. Like, I seen how my father carried himself as a black man. I seen how my mother carried herself as a black woman. So it's, you know, it's, they led by example. But what I'll do is actually have that conversation, because the world is different from when our parents were coming up versus when we're coming up versus when our kids are going to come up. You know, it's going to be different. There are different things to pay attention to. There's certain shit happening in the world that they didn't see, that we didn't see, that they're gonna see. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have to tailor how we look at ourselves and how we look at each other as time goes on. We gotta update it, we gotta upgrade it. Other cultures, other groups. When I say other cultures, it's like, first of all, what is that? Other people, other groups don't really have culture. Not here in America. It's like their culture is paying attention to what we do, taking what we do, cashing in on what we do, making us feel ashamed and making us feel stupid for what we do, just so they can flip it. Music is one of those main things. Like all genres came from us. You talk about rock, blues, all of that shit came from black people. And there's no debate about that. Like, you can Google it, look it up however you want to. All of it came from black people. And I see the same thing, just to go on a side note, I see the same thing happening with rap now. It's like they injected this bullshit element into rap to get us to kind of step away from it. You know, because there was a time when hip hop and rap was about knowledge and, you know, just spreading gems. Like, it's not about that anymore. It's about bullshit. It's about drugs. It's all violence, all dumb shit, man. There's a time and a place for it, because even myself, I enjoy a little ignorance from time to time. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm just all about, I just wanna listen to EPMD and Dead Prez all day. Like, I wanna hear different shit depending on what mood I'm in. But the narrative that they pushed of the shit that's out there now on the radio and all online, social media and shit, I think that was a strategic chess move to get us off of it. Number one, they know how much money is in rap music. They know how much money is in rap artists. That's why when these rap artists blow up and they just die and fall off the edge of the map magically, first thing that happens is them labels swoop in and cash in. They cash them checks, because as black men, as black artists, we're worth more dead. Once we build that buzz, we're worth more dead than alive, because then they can have their way with your art, with your words, with, you know, what belongs to you. So like I said, that's on a side note, but all of that shit is tied in together with us being black men. We have way more control. We have way more influence than we think we do. We literally move the needle on every fucking thing, no matter what it is, no matter how small or how big. We decide everything. If tomorrow all black people started, okay, we all like this brand of cars. We all like Genesis. We'll take Genesis for example. We all like these Genesis style cars. You know what happened that next day? You guessed it. They're gonna dump everything they can into it to suit what we say we like. And then before you know it, everybody gonna be driving a fucking Genesis. Why? Because we said so. We say what's hot. We say what to pay attention to. And they'll never admit it, but they watch us for everything we do. When it comes to movies, it's like, if we say, okay, well, we're not rocking with this, we're not watching these kind of movies no more, they stop making them. It's like, whatever we feed into is what the rest of the world moves off of. And that's on, like I said, on all scales of life, like everything. You got a job, you're a black man, you know, when you go to work, there's a different atmosphere when you're at work. It's a different atmosphere when you're not at work. Because even, like I say, even if we're saying nothing, if we're around, all eyes are just always on us. And sometimes it is kind of fucking creepy, because it's like, who wants to live under a magnifying glass all the time? But the more I thought about it, I'm like, shit, all we have to do is just start using that to suit us. So I walk with a different kind of pride. I walk with a different kind of pride when I know people are watching. I'm a different kind of protector when I know it's me and my wife and people are. And I got stories. She can tell you stories of shit that we know happened just because, like, if my wife is out by herself, she can get into all kinds of altercations in traffic because people see a woman. And, you know, they think her ethnicity, they think she's Indian. Sometimes they know she's Mexican. They're more reluctant and they're more withdrawn from starting shit, talking shit when they see me with her. And that has actually happened before, you know. So it's like this is a real thing that we are, as a whole, other people look at black men and they know, you know, physically we can't just go at that those group of guys like that. We're built different. We have different physical framework going on. Everything is different. So you can't just run up on the average masculine black man and say what you want to and do what you want to him. And that's where the whole emasculation of black men comes in, because it's like once they break you, then, you know, especially with the black man being the head of the household, once you break that, once you cut that off, everything else gonna fall behind it. That's one thing they hate to see, is a masculine black man. I'm not putting on no skinny jeans. I'm not putting no fucking paint on my finger. I'm not doing nothing women do. I'm not carrying no merch. I'm not doing nothing. I'm a traditional masculine black man. And they're trying to get rid of us. They're trying to make it seem like we're toxic masculinity and all this stupid shit, which doesn't even exist. It's like, what the toxic masculinity? You don't hear it as much because people call the bullshit out on it, but they still try here and there to highlight shit that's not even wrong with us to make it seem like it's something bad. Like, and that's, I'll never, and that's one of the other things I never back down, is my masculinity. I don't joke around about it. That's one thing I don't play about. I'll never play about. And if I could tell every black man one thing, it would be, keep your masculinity where it's supposed to be. Don't turn your masculinity down, because it's a war on it right now. It's a big war on our masculinity. They know once they get that up out of us, it's a done deal. It is a done deal. And I think actually that's where I'll leave it, man. Keep your masculinity turned up. Always bet on black. They know who we are. We got to get back in touch with who we are, how we look at each other. Quit being so standoffish. Quit having automatic pressure towards your brothers. And after Black History Month, this is a pattern that we need to keep it going. It's not just now. It's not just for these 28 days. It's forever and a day. So that's been another episode of the Scrolls Podcast. And I catch y'all on the next round. Peace out.